Whether it's her first Mother's Day or her 40th, she deserves more. Shop tons of stunning on-trend jewelry for every budget at Diamonds Direct. Diamond fashion jewelry, beautiful birthstones, everyday pearls, starting at just $200. Commemorate the real loves of her life with a gorgeous pendant featuring the birthstone of the one who made her mom. This Mother's Day, Diamonds Direct has everything you need to say thank you. Diamonds Direct, your love, our passion. Online at DiamondsDirect.com.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Mother's Day is right around the corner, and in true She Pivots fashion, we're highlighting moms who've dedicated their lives and their pivots to supporting mothers. The iconic Christy Turlington will join us to talk about launching Every Mother Counts after pivoting from her 90s supermodel days. And later, the co-CEOs of Baby to Baby will share how they're addressing the needs for millions of babies and moms. So tune in and subscribe to She Pivots. New episodes out every Wednesday. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in LA, and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 61, episode 4 of Der Daily Zeitgeist!
Yeah.
The podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness using the headlines, box office reports, TV ratings, what's trending on Google and social media. It's Thursday, December 13th, 2018. Happy birthday to my little sister, Caitlin.
My name is
Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. You're the Jack O'Brien. Ain't no one ever gonna get away with lying. That is courtesy of Hannah Saltis, and I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
I'm beginning to look a lot like Miles Gray. Everywhere I go, Jack O'Brien is over there, Anna Hosnier in her chair, and a guest I'd really like to get to know.
Wow.
Noel
so
Duncan.
Good.
Beautiful.
Duncan on him with that AKA.
Noel Duncan?
Yep.
So she just comes with it because she's named after the season.
This is her time.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by a guest we surely would like to get to know a little bit better. She's been on the show a number of times. She is a hilarious comedian. She is Sarah June.
Hello.
Hi.
What's up?
I don't have an AKA, but I would like to start associating my name with a wolf howl. So if you guys could introduce me again, and I'll just show you how it's going.
Or I could introduce you as Sarah June.
No.
Nope. Okay. All right, sorry.
Do it. Say Sarah June.
And we're thrilled to be joined by Sarah June.
That's what I'm trying to get started.
Wolf pack. Where my wolf pack at? And then you just got
I got a bad bulletproof again.
Chunky. For fuck's sakes, man.
You got a chunky bulletproof.
When are you going to learn?
It's like candy corn.
Are you trying
every year I'm be like, nah, this one will be different.
Trying to eat this cold?
Well, no, the butter and oil congeals at the top, and it's all
chunky.
Yeah,
that's how butter works.
But do they suggest drink that cold?
Yeah,
they do.
That's
before
dumb.
I pulled one out the refrigerator, and it didn't do this. I have problems, and this is not the show. But anyway, that's
bulletproof. You gotta have a bulletproof hot, or else you're just having chunks of butter with your coffee, which is not bad. But it's not what you. Miles looks upset.
Yeah, no, it's bad.
Yeah,
it's
fine.
Troubling.
I'm fine.
I haven't fully recovered from the memory of drinking.
Oh yeah, you had like an existential crisis.
You don't like just big chunks of coconut oil in your mouth?
No, it was very like salty and not a good mix. Well, Sorry, Jim, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. But first, we're going to tell our listeners a couple of the things we're talking about. Google has come out with their most Googled terms of 2018, and we're going to look at the most Googled foods of 2018. Ooh. While we're on the subject of foods, we're going to talk about the fact that Whole Foods has been poisoning us for years, and we didn't know. We're going to do a quick 2020 preview, check in with the Democratic field, see how everybody's feeling about all them candidates. We're going to look at the tech world's latest trip to Capitol Hill, some more fallout from that Oval Office meeting, all of that, and plenty, plenty more. But first, we like to ask our guest, what is something from your search history that is revealing about who you are?
A recent search history term of mine was, is vaping halal?
Oh.
I wanted to know, and moms are divided on the subject. But,
really?
The general consensus is no, it is not halal. It is haram to vape.
Okay.
Because it's an intoxicant, right? You're vaping like nicotine or weed or whatever. It's kind of okay if you are quitting smoking.
Okay.
It's like, okay, you know, it's one of those where it's like, it's not halal, but like nobody's going to kick you out of the mosque.
And for people who aren't versed in Islam, can you tell people what halal means?
Halal means it's cool. Haram means it's not cool. Mm. So like.
So overrated, underrated, but
overrated,
for Muslims.
Underrated, yeah. But yeah. Vaping is like, it's not okay because it's an intoxicant and you're not supposed to get fucked up.
Right.
You're not supposed to get fucked up on cigarettes. You're not supposed to get fucked up on alcohol. You're not supposed to get fucked up on weed.
Right.
But like, does every Muslim not drink? No.
Right.
You know, so like people do it, whatever. But interesting, vaping, while haram, does not break wudu, which is when you wash before you pray.
Uh-huh.
There's like a special, like a washing procedure before you pray so you get real clean.
Right.
But vaping doesn't break wudu. So like you can still, like you could wash your hands a bunch and then vape and then pray to God.
Wow.
Pretty cool.
Yeah.
But if you fart, that breaks wudu.
Oh, it does?
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Damn.
If you pass out, that also breaks wudu.
If you pass out?
Yeah.
Okay.
Weird set of rules,
yeah.
Really.
Yeah.
There's a lot of really good forums where people ask imams, like, what Muhammad said about
vaping. Or farting.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so interesting.
Not about farting, but, like, about like, modern shit.
Yeah, right,
you know,
right,
it's always really good.
And now, is that in the Quran about farting?
Yeah, but not, they don't. Yeah.
They don't call it farting.
They don't call it. They say anything exiting the body.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
So a belch also.
Yep.
Yes. Well,
but
yes. There's
you
like
exhale. So,
but that's
you're not,
not
supposed to.
But a
that's,
belch is
that's
a,
fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I would say digestive gas is building and
right,
expelling
right.
them.
Yes.
Okay.
Passing wind, taking shit, passing out, and falling asleep.
Okay.
Deep sleep.
Right.
But if you fall asleep a little, I think it's fine.
Are
it's
you,
all really like, it's not, I'm not Muslim.
Are you vaping is what I was going to ask.
No.
Okay. You just wanted
no,
to
my
kind
friend,
of.
My friend, well, my podcast co-host with the podcast Co-Most, Drew Nutter, is a
ooh.
big vape daddy.
Uh-huh.
And he recently got a new vape and it looks like Hal from the movie 2001. It's
uh-huh.
very large and white and it has buttons on it, you know? So I was like, huh. Your vape looks like Hal. And then I was like, is vaping halal?
Yeah. Oh, okay. Thank
I
you.
Like
that
train
was
of
truly
thought.
The train of thought. Yeah.
Nice.
And no, it's not really, but, you know, no one's gonna kick you out.
Right.
For it.
For a little vape.
I mean, don't vape at
just
a service.
Just ask for forgiveness.
You know?
Just atone.
Yeah,
when
just
the time
atone,
comes.
You know, do a little wudu. Mm-hmm. It's chill.
Is all vape right. daddy like a fetish? Like, are people into vape daddies? Like, is that?
That's a good Google search thing for you to do later.
All right, that will be my search history
but
tomorrow.
But search leather with it.
Right.
Yeah.
Leather vape daddy.
A vape daddy is a man who vapes with confidence.
Got
I would
it.
Say. You know,
yes.
When you've got a zaddy who vapes, he's a vape daddy.
Yeah.
Got it.
Or vatty.
What is something you think is overrated?
So I heard recently, and maybe we'll talk about this later too, about Jack Dorsey going to a Vipassana meditation retreat for like 8 to 10 days.
Uh-huh.
And then he came back and he was like, here's a graph of my heart rate while I was meditating.
Because
he was wearing his ring that measures your heart rate. You know, wearable
cool.
tech, not creepy at all.
Uh-huh.
You know, lot of regulation around it.
Yes.
No worries.
Yeah.
He was, I think, knowing all your body measurements all the time is overrated. I think, you know, like the Apple Health and shit, things that track you, they're kind of cool. In a way, it's like, yeah, it's cool. But really, I don't know.
Do you need to monitor yourself constantly? Is
that
what
you're
saying?
If you're not ill, you know what I mean? Like if you have an illness or chronic illness or trouble sleeping or something, it's very good to like keep track of stuff and it can help find out a lot of stuff about yourself. But overall, I think I don't want to know Jack Dorsey's heart rate all the time, you know?
Mm, right.
I think that's overrated.
Yes.
Okay.
It's probably the most relevant overrated I've ever brought to the table. Because listen, I don't think it's awful, but I'm like, meh.
Yeah, well, I think it's for people, if you like that data, fine, but like, are we going to live for 50 years longer because
of
that?
I don't want Jack Dorsey to live for 50 years longer. I want him to die at a normal time.
Is his hair all long and shit right now, too?
No,
is that the photo I saw?
I don't know. I didn't see
that. Oh, okay. I thought I saw a photo of him looking hippie, crunchy.
Like in 10 days, his hair just grew to like shoulder length, you know, from the strength of his meditation.
Oh, no, I think he's all right.
I just heard somebody say like, well, I actually think Jack Dorsey is a pretty thoughtful guy. Like of all the tech people, like tech entrepreneurs and founders, I think he's the most, you know, woke and he's into mindfulness. He just went on a retreat and now this has totally erased all of that.
Yeah,
for
he
me.
Wore his Apple Watch and his Aura ring that measures your sleep and stuff the whole time he was at the meditation retreat, which was like, it's like in an ashram or something.
Right.
You're not allowed, you're not allowed to have a cell phone. You're supposed to be in silent meditation for like hours and hours a day. And he was like, I'm going to keep my Apple Watch
on. Yeah, he's like, well, hold on, dude. I need to check my mentions.
Yeah, he was like, they were in airplane mode.
Yeah.
Like,
okay.
They were in airplane mode.
That's how I knew like I was really peaceful because like my mentions were blowing up and my heart rate was just like fucking flat, dude. That was chill. He looks like fucking Hugh Laurie playing a shitty version of Jack Dorsey.
I would love to see a movie about Twitter starring Hugh Laurie. Like, I'll watch Hugh Laurie.
It
kind of
looks like Hugh Laurie, like a fake beard.
Yeah, he looks like a pug Hugh Laurie.
All right, well.
I like Hugh Laurie.
Oh, yeah. Shout out to him.
Beautiful,
and Stephen Fry.
Incredible actor.
He's Hugh Daddy.
Hugh Laurie Daddy House.
Yes. Daddy House. I like that. What is something you think is underrated?
You know, having any sort of privacy with your information online, totally underrated. If you're still into privacy, move on. Everyone knows where you are all the time. It's chill. Companies buying and selling your data. Get used to it. You know what I mean? Everyone's poly now. Everyone's got each other's information. You know, if you got a smartphone, just accept that you have no privacy anymore.
You have a tracking device.
Yeah, you have a tracking device. Like, you know, this is a thing that, like, how long have hippies been saying this? Like, 30 years?
Yeah,
you know,
it's
you
finally
have to walk
here.
Around with a GPS tracking device. I mean, yeah, it's true. You know what I mean? What I don't get is people that are learning now and very surprised that companies that track their locations buy and sell that information. Because it's like, what else did you think they were doing?
Well, because I think a lot of people didn't have the...
Why did people
it's
trust
abstract tech
so much?
What the business model was, right? Because they just thought it was like, yeah, it's Google's free. Gmail's free.
Yeah.
Because that's just like what it is. Like, it's free. And they don't be like, yeah, how do you sustain that?
Yeah, okay, so
you're
Gmail
selling all
is
that
free, and then the guys that run it are billionaires. Where does the money come in?
Right.
There's a disconnect.
I thought they were just rich people who were trying to do me a solid with my email.
I think that's really what a lot of people think.
I'm for real.
They're trying to help the world and me by giving me an email service.
Right. It wasn't until I had people who were working for those companies like break down for me how it worked. I was like, oh, right.
Maybe
it's not like AOL.
Why...
I used to pay a monthly fee, and that's why I got my shit.
Yeah.
Now
it's like, you got those sweet message boards.
Yeah. Now they just lure you in so they can be like, because we just want to package your data.
Yeah. And sometimes they ask you if they can, like, get your location, and sometimes they don't.
Yeah.
But I kind of just assume they're always doing it because they have the ability.
Right.
You know, and there's many companies that track your location and don't ask you, even though that's, like, pretty illegal. But the problem is, none of this is illegal right now.
Yeah.
Like, it's really all very above board because we don't have any regulation about it.
Yeah, because we're like, as we'll talk about later, a lot of people
didn't exist.
Yeah,
you know, like we never had to fucking deal with this anymore, or before rather. But there's a senator, I believe from Oregon, who's trying to introduce like a maybe a bundle of bills or maybe just one bill about regulating you know, personal data, and it's in the works right now. Scott something, I want to say.
Mm-hmm.
Scott Merkley.
Scott Oregon.
Scott
Portland. Portland.
Scott Salem.
Yeah. Either way,
anyways,
I agree.
There's some senators from Oregon trying to like, because there just is no legislation about this because it was never an issue before. And then obviously tech has an interest in keeping it very deregulated.
Yeah. Don't make it hot for us. Yes. So they spend a lot of money lobbying for that exact
purpose.
They spend
a shit ton of money.
Hey, focus on Cambridge Analytica this
year. Like, you know, people, everyone knows Zuck is going to run. You know, Zuck is going to run maybe 2020, maybe 2024. Like, we don't really know, but that's why. It's not because he's so good at people and relating to people and people, you know, he's not a
statesman.
He's
going to have to do a lot of coke if he's going to come off as a human in any kind of interaction. He's like, I don't know. But even then, I can't imagine what geeked
up. Can you imagine
Zuckerberg
him giving a speech?
Yeah, like, yeah, so, I mean, he's already so anxious. Well, like, oh, God, I'm panicking watching.
Yeah, he's
you.
A fucking programmer. Yeah. Like, he looks like a programmer and he sounds like a programmer.
And looks like a program.
Yeah.
Yes. But I agree. We talked about this even yesterday that, you know, it's a $21 billion industry right now already, the selling of your location. But at the same time, they're not really connecting it to you personally. It's just they're interested in the patterns. They're just viewing you as a point of data, basically.
And then but, like, you're a point of data that goes from one place to another every – you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, yeah. I don't have – like, when I use Google Maps, you know how you have an option to set your home address?
Right.
Like, I don't use that, you know? But I know Google knows where I live. Because yeah, it's like, where do I go every night?
Yeah.
You know, they know my fucking address.
Yeah, right. Exactly. And, yeah, I'm more jealous than anything because I want to know, like, all the shit that they know about, like – humans and how we actually behave.
You should work for an advertising company.
Yeah.
They do that. They ping you when you go by a billboard. Like if you have a certain kind of phone and a GPS tracker, advertising companies that have a billboard will be able to ping you and see when you're near the billboard, and then they can see where you can go after that.
Right.
And how much later you buy their product if you stay within a certain radius, and they can see how it affects your travel patterns and your shopping patterns. And like, you know, who wants that?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Exactly. Do you guys want that?
No, definitely.
Do you think that's cool?
Do you
think it's fine?
Because
I think some people think it's fine, and I really don't.
I feel like I'd rather have my privacy than arm companies with more like aggressive data to sell me shit. Like, I don't see where the benefit is for them to know all of those sort of...
Because it makes it easier for them to sell you things.
Exactly.
And it makes them money.
Then, so, but my argument is like...
It's the profit motive, baby. It's America.
Yeah, well, that's why I'm saying, like, if it's a binary choice, I'm like, well, fuck that. Yeah, I want my fucking privacy.
What's more important, like, the ability of a corporation to, like, you know, expand their profit or your ability to walk down a street and not have a company know where you're going?
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
You know, look, if you want to sell me something, just put Cardi B in a commercial.
Yeah.
If you want to sell me something, you know, get a guy on the street, get him to give me a flyer.
Yeah. Or one of those inflatable guys with the arms that go crazy.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, what's
cool? Old school advertising.
What's up at that oil lube change center?
If I could find a way.
Show me a big wiggly guy.
If I could find a way to work in advertising and not kill myself, I would do it. But I just, I don't think there's a possible way.
You'd be very rich and dead.
Right. Yeah. Those are the problems.
It's a trade-off.
Finally, what is a myth? What's something people think is true you know to be false?
Sometimes people say, Riverdale, the sexy Archie show on the CW, that show is mere trash and has no political overtones. Well, I say those people don't know what they're talking about because I now have a second podcast. That's right. I have a second podcast, and it's only about Riverdale and how it's communist.
Oh,
it's
really?
It's
wasn't there DSA
Riverdale?
Riverdale? Yeah, yes. I got that Twitter account.
You got that Twitter account. at DSA underscore Riverdale. We post maybe like once a month. This is a low-key podcast.
Right.
But Riverdale's extremely woke. There's a lot of political themes in Riverdale. Season 1, season 2, season 3. Season 3 right now. Crazy.
Really?
Huh. Yeah. Oh, the whole thing is about how the town of Riverdale is being taken over by this rapacious capitalist, Hiram Lodge, Veronica's dad.
Okay.
And then, like, Jughead represents the poor who are in a gang, and they're constantly getting, like, Riverdale gets gentrified. The south side of Riverdale gets gentrified in season 2 because Hiram Lodge, spoilers, wants to build a private prison there. You see what
Hiram?
I mean? They got a very clear perspective. And, you know, then we also just like to talk about who's hot.
Well, who's in that fucking writer's room?
I mean, you know, some people I'd like to meet.
Yeah, right?
And so we got a little bit of lashback, backlash, flashback about our show because people got mad at us on Twitter for associating the sexualization of minors with class struggle.
Oh.
Was a complaint that we got, which I take seriously, but it's ridiculous because they're not minors.
The actors
themselves are not minors. They're not teens. The show is not really about teens. You know,
it's just very weird when you're like, oh, they're in high school?
Well, they're supposed to be in high school,
right.
And like you never see them in class. And also, yeah, all the actors are like in their 20s, so
right.
I don't feel bad about it. But some people did
and
get
you're
very
also
mad
doing
at
it
us
for
being too horny.
Humor jokes.
We're
and
doing
fun.
It for humor jokes
yeah.
and fun. But also, like, the show is deeply sexual. Like, have you ever seen Riverdale?
No, yeah, the one time
abs
I popped in
all the time.
The student has sex with one of the teachers and the parents are like, you should just get out of town. And I'm like, I'm sorry, that's how they handle shit in Riverdale. Like, cool.
Yeah. It is a hotbed. Hotbed yeah. of you know, sin and revolutionary activity.
There we go.
Are you saying that the community, like, operates on socialist, along socialist ideals?
No,
or
they
just
do not.
That they, like, hide socialist ideas in it?
Some of the main characters in the show explicitly fight for socialist ideals. Uh-huh. And also, in season two, Archie becomes a fascist and starts like a terrorist group, and then by the end of the season he has a change of heart and he becomes anti-fascist. But like, I don't trust Archie. Archie, you know, goes to prison. He has an experience in prison that makes him rethink his trust of the cops and the system.
Wow.
It's a political show.
The comics.
Just like the comics.
Yep. All right, guys, let's talk about the most Googled foods of 2018. And
yes,
we have brought in our special keto correspondent, super producer Anna Hosnier.
Hi. Pew, pew,
pew. Are you keto?
Wow, listen to that energy from that keto diet. See, she's fucking vibrating right now.
She's hovering.
Well, the reason we bring her in is because when you look at the most Googled food of this year, five of the fucking entries are keto recipes. So
yes,
keto pancakes, keto cheesecake, keto chili, keto brownies, amongst the others.
Cheeto cookies would be better, but it's actually keto cookies.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, I'm like, it just shows you the power, the strength of the keto craze.
I've been swept up in the keto wave. I'm not afraid.
Are you keto wave too?
I am not, but my roommate was keto for a while, and I just, through osmosis, started eating a lot less bread.
Yeah.
Huh. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now I know what's keto and what isn't, and I know what it is.
Right.
I'm not keto. You know, I didn't have a need or desire to lose quite a large amount of weight, but yeah, it's making its way through all our brains.
Yeah, my dad was on three different kinds of it this year. I tried it for three weeks.
Three dose.
And yeah, so you just said that you had made keto pancakes this weekend, did you not, Anna?
Yes, I made keto pancakes this weekend. I've made keto cheesecake, which I brought in, and you guys all pretended to like it.
I did like it.
No, they were delicious.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Miles. No, they were good.
There's some face humor on this podcast.
Yeah. It's so easy to fuck with her.
I've made keto chocolate chip keto cookies. I've made keto
What do you use for
cakes.
Flour?
I use almond flour.
Nice.
I also use like coconut flour.
Mm.
So this is like no carbs? Is that the keto philosophy?
Correct.
It's all fat.
Yeah.
Very little sugar
fat,
too.
No, well, yeah, very, very
high
little
fat,
sugar.
Moderate protein, low mm-hmm. carb.
But that mm-hmm. keto cheesecake was sweet. What was so
mung
sweet?
Fruit.
I use mung. For the keto cheesecake, I use the Swerve sugar, which is like
what?
Fake sugar. It's the
Lamborghini
the fake
Mercer
sugar
made from
Swerve.
Taking the world. You got to go buy. You got to go spend most of your life savings on this stuff because it's very expensive, and they only sell it at like health food stores.
Okay,
right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like keto is expensive.
I think I'm going to go and swerve past that.
I feel like this is a good time. I need a raise.
Yeah. I know. I saw you ordering that bread. It's like
feed myself?
20 bucks a loaf for keto bread.
Yeah. Well, low carb bread. Look, it's not great, but it does the job of you thinking you're eating bread.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just you need something to put things
you
between.
Toast your keto bagels here in the office, and sometimes I smell them and I'm like,
yeah. And you're like, is someone using Whiteout?
Yeah.
Well, the other things on this list were very interesting, too.
I feel like we're not treating ourselves very well as a species because most of these are like...
When have we ever?
Right. But these are like it's...
Okay. So like romaine lettuce, you know that was because of the recall.
Right. Yeah.
That's not because everybody needed a romaine recipe.
Right. Right. How do I cook romaine lettuce?
CBD gummies. So we're treating ourselves well there.
Love gummies.
Everybody loved... But this was the year for CBD.
You know
man.
What
Everyone's
I love
like,
now?
CBD?
CBD? CBD?
Boys to Men, ABC, CBD.
The gummy thing is cool. I like that there's just a lot of vegan gummy. I always felt a little weird about eating gelatin.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
I'm
yeah.
not vegan, but like gelatin's a little...
Bone
I'd
goo?
I'd rather... It's bone goo. I'd rather not. And now there's vegan gummies everywhere, which I think is great.
Oh, yeah.
We've made a lot of advances in vegan sciences.
And vegan edibles.
Mm.
People want to get that CBD wave. And the other ones, Necco wafers, I'm surprised, because we talked about how that shit should have just been thrown on the fucking trash heap of history.
It's so bad. That's what I'm talking about. And then gochujang is pretty good, but...
Overrated Necco wafers, underrated Nilla wafers.
Oh, yes, love Nilla wafers.
For sure.
Nilla wafers are like currency mm-hmm. in my preschool, I remember as a kid.
With
so
bananas.
They're coin
and
shaped
pudding.
And everything.
Yeah. Mm. Well, the thing with gochujang, I wonder if that had to do.
What is gochujang?
It's the Korean spice paste, like the foundation for all like Korean spicy
it's
food.
It's like pepper paste.
Yeah. Mm. And that was mentioned in that woman's really tired obituary about her potato salad or whatever the fuck. Remember the woman? She was like, millennials are ruining mayonnaise. That's what it was, the pro-mayonnaise thing. She's like, and now people want gochujang or whatever.
Right.
But I think this was just a hot year for for Korean fusion.
Yeah, oh, and a cold ear for mayonnaise.
Yes. Cold ear.
Yeah, mayonnaise is number 576.
Oh, boy.
No. Unicorn cake was the number one searched thing, which...
That's Instagram, baby. That's the power of Insta.
Right? It's just because that it was like
it's pretty.
Cake with a horn on it?
Yeah. Oh, no, it's rainbow cake.
Right, but it's like, but the, it was all about the visual of it rather than like this was a thing to eat. Everyone's just obsessed with like... Oh, you can make this little cake look like
look
cute uniform.
Pretty.
Unicorn. I say uniform.
Yeah, people want to eat things that look good and don't taste good, I find.
Yeah.
All those like pastry Instagrams, I'm like, you know, this doesn't taste. It's kind of dry because you got to make a real, you have to make a thick cake.
Yeah, it has to be very rigid.
It has to be very rigid.
I'm not a fondant fan either.
Nope. Good for sculpting, bad for eating.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So I see the inside of the unicorn cake looks like a unicorn frap from Starbucks.
Oh, God.
Right. Okay, sure.
Wait, it looks like,
what does a unicorn frap look
Kashi 69's
it's
hair.
Like blue. It's like cotton candy colors, like blue and pink.
Oh,
and
that's nice.
White and all that.
Yeah. So
that was a 2017 thing. Though.
Basically, yeah. Super producer Anna Hosnier, the way to break the internet, come up with a keto unicorn cake.
Oh, ooh. Shit. Oh,
with CBD in it.
CBD. There we go. We're on the same page.
That wouldn't be too
hard. I want some CBD in my gochujang.
Yeah. You can imagine. You just need to get like, you could make frosting from like Swerve confectioner sugar.
Holy shit.
With food coloring, and then you can make the cake out of either almond flour or coconut flour. You use the same recipe as a cake, but you just replace those certain items with their replaceable.
Take all the weed in your diet and replace it with nuts.
Guys, her eyes are closed as she says this, and she was just running her fingers
levitating.
Through the air like
her
she's seen the Matrix.
Went all white,
and then you
just
would use
back.
That's actually the thing. Once you do and start making enough keto things, you immediately can see how to make the keto version of everything.
Yeah, it's like the gif of the woman seeing the math in the air.
Yeah. Right,
like,
right.
I'm like ketoing. She's going into a keto fugue.
Yeah.
And then real quick, Whole Foods is poisoning you through those little brown boxes that you put their hot bar food into.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
What's in there?
So
BPA?
Somebody did a test on all grocery chains in America and said that Whole Foods ranked by far the worst for chemicals it uses in packaging its popular hot food bar. They found high levels of fluorine in 5 of the 17 items tested at Whole Foods, 4 of which were containers for its salad and hot food bar.
Got to keep those bodily essences pure.
These are the ones that are like the super biodegradable, compostable little box.
I don't think so.
Ones,
no,
right?
Those are the ones that are cardboard, but on the inside it looks
waxed. Plastic?
Yes. I think that's
what
the
that plastic
Man,
coating
yeah.
on
I
the
hate
inside.
When that shit gets stuck
so
in my
they're,
teeth.
So they're really not, they're not compostable, and they're not really biodegradable because of that.
I fell for it again.
Yep. I fell for it again.
Yeah, mate. Sorry.
Also, as Miles said, not very digestible.
Yeah. Oh, no, for real. It does get stuck in my teeth. I'm glad to know that. It is plastic, and I should not eat that.
Yeah, yes. It's really a crucible of the compostable packaging industry is that like everything that's compostable, when it gets hot, it falls apart.
Right.
So that's why like the compostable cups, you can only put cold drinks in because for something to be compostable, it has to break down. And the heat of a compost pile helps it break down.
Break down.
Underrated composting. I'm heavy into it now. Okay. I got a big soil saver. Oh boy. I love to talk about pH levels. I want to get all the tools. When compost is going right, it should be so hot that if you put your hand in it, you burn your hand.
Really?
It's crazy.
Damn. Oh, shit. From all that entropic breakdown?
Yeah.
Mm. All right. We're going to
shut up.
Take
you guys
a moment
are like, yeah, no.
to think about that. And we'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is an NAACP and Webby Award-winning podcast dedicated to all things mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. Here, we have the conversations that help Black women decipher how their past inform who they are today and use that information to decide who they want to be moving forward. We chat about things like how to establish routines that center self-care, what burnout looks and feels like, and defining what aspects of our lives are making us happy and what parts are holding us back. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters.
It's an election year, so there's a lot of focus on the voters that TikTok is reaching.
The initial reaction is like, oh, things are looking so resilient.
I don't want to be too pessimistic, but I just don't see the political will down in Washington right now to change their tune.
I think the American electorate has been signaling that it expects a rematch of the 2020 election. These are unprecedented times.
With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. And I wanted to take a quick moment to look at the 2020 Democratic field, because specifically the Beto versus Bernie debate that is now sort of bubbling to the surface. Some of the people on the...
Beto don't forget Biden.
Bernie? Yeah.
It's Beto Bernie.
I think people just have Biden is like a fixed, like a known quantity, and then...
Like mayonnaise.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then...
Beto is the gochujang.
Right. Beto is the gochujang.
This mix.
And Bernie then, is Miracle Whip.
Right. Well, so, you know, I heard somebody talking about how Bernie gets... like harshly criticized for, you know, not having very woke politics on race. And I started doing like research into that. And it seems like people don't really know where to come down on Bernie and how he feels about race.
Well, he's had gaffes, right? Like, right. So during on Super Tuesday, when he got blown out by Hillary, like it was almost like there was no effort to reach out to Black women who are, if you're going to be a Democratic candidate, yeah, you need that. And mm-hmm, there was very little effort to court that voting bloc. And he said things here and there. But, you know, his criminal justice things do address those kinds of things. He's just not a very vocally, like, I think the issue is he doesn't say enough out vocally that people go, oh, I see him vibing with people of color. Now, in the last year, he's done a lot to, I think, change that.
Right.
But I think a lot of the criticism comes from, I think, sort of the lack of interest, and from Hillary, too, from just trying to better understand the Black vote.
Kind of the two ends of the spectrum on, you know, white Democrats trying to appeal to voters of color is on the one hand, you know, you've got Bernie who just doesn't really talk about it.
Right.
But he talks about policies that affect class,
right.
which is very influenced, like race and class are deeply intertwined.
Yeah.
And then on the other end of the spectrum, you've got Hillary Clinton telling you that she's your abuela, you know.
Right.
Right.
Which, does that help her? Right. With
I have hot sauce in my bag, color? Swag.
So authentic.
I've got hot sauce in my bag.
What kind? Texas pizza? No, come on, get that shit out. It's not Crystal.
I had slaves in Arkansas.
Yeah. Oh, did you?
Mm. She did.
Yeah. I mean, so Sanders in 2016 said something about like how we need to move beyond identity politics to focus on class, which I get.
Sounds that, like
that
something
makes
a white guy would
very,
say.
Very, very nervous. Yeah, exactly.
It's a big debate right now.
Yeah.
Well, because people are talking about identity politics like it's meaningless,
right.
which I think is upsetting. But at the same time, identity politics are not the whole sum of all politics.
I feel like it's used by certain white like liberals to suggest that like it's basically their discomfort with focusing on racial issues.
Yeah, it's a euphemism for do you have to talk about being black all the time?
Right. Right. But meanwhile, like Trump's entire platform is identity politics. Like,
yeah.
And just in the reverse, it's identifying yourself as white and identifying people of color and the LGBTQ community as other. And that is identity politics, but it doesn't get identified as such.
Right. Identity politics is a term reserved for people with marginalized identities who won't shut up about it.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
Better definition.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So when you looked at, I think, what that Move On poll, that straw poll is a thing that got everybody talking about sort of like, oh, let's,
what
according to these people, it's just about people who support for members if they ended up becoming, you know, political candidates.
Who's polling the best of the Democrats.
28% was someone else don't know / other. 15% Beto, 14.9% Biden, 13.1% Bernie, 10% Kamala Harris, 6.4% Elizabeth Warren, and then on and on and on.
Hmm.
And Cory Booker at the very bottom at 2.6%.
That's where he belongs.
Yeah, I mean, good luck to you, Cory. So I'm very curious to know what's going on because we know Beto has been talking to Obama. He's been talking to Al Sharpton and Andrew Gillum. The Andrew Gillum thing is very interesting to me that they're talking. What they're talking about, what he is trying to do, if he's trying to position himself to be more aggressively courting people of color as part of his voting bloc or whatever.
Or his potential cabinet, potential running mate.
I mean, yeah, that would be interesting. But yeah, I don't know. It's we will see. I just know that Joe Biden, come on now. Let's just go back.
Unless he just has a radical change where he's like completely progressive and like updates his politics to
the
moment.
Rose emoji in his display name.
Right. Which I just don't see happening. Like, I think he is the...
Joe Biden needs a pepper in his display name. Yeah. His takes are too spicy.
Yeah, too spiced.
Right. He's the choice for people who are like, we just need to do Obama again.
Yeah.
The exact same thing.
Remember Obama? That was great, right?
Yeah. Right.
Let's do it again, but without the identity politics.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. It's a very, you know, old...
Oh, God, the thought of Joe Biden running is just making me feel heavy.
Heavy
and bored.
Yeah, and also worried because I feel like enough who don't know, who aren't engaged enough politically will be like, I don't see what the problem is with Joe Biden.
Do you remember when Parks and Rec had Joe Biden on a bunch of episodes and like the whole thing with Amy Poehler's character was that she was like way into Joe Biden?
Yeah.
Even then, I was like, this isn't working for me. Like, he does not have a lot of charm as a statesman.
Well, I don't know.
You know?
The way he's intoxicating to white women, middle-aged white women. Remember that photo of him with he's got the biker's like girlfriend on his lap?
What?
And he's like whispering in her ear, and the two biker dudes are like, this motherfucker. And she's like,
this slick motherfucker.
Yeah, it's so funny.
Oh, my God.
And I'm like, yo, Joe Biden, he's just a player.
He's kryptonite to white women.
Yeah.
But I just don't see the appeal. I probably couldn't pick him out of a lineup.
Yeah.
They had him on the show, and I was like, I wonder if this is the real Joe Biden.
His smile will blind you. Them teeth are so white.
So white, so large.
Yeah. he is central casting president.
Yes,
like,
he
from
is.
A 90s movie. Like, yeah. Just what a president looks like in a 90s movie.
Well, yeah, he's not even an action movie president.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
He's like a movie about journalism president.
Yeah. And that president always ends up being the bad guy. Mm-hmm. Like, even though he right. comes off
he's
as
him
very
the whole
positive.
Time.
Yeah. I think like president from the RoboCop universe, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Ah, yeah.
But
yeah.
I feel
like. Where
he
inspires confidence in the populace, but then he's secretly building a robot cop.
Yeah, exactly. I feel like there's sort of frustration from all sides. Like, people on the far left and like democratic socialists are concerned that Bernie is being criticized for his racial views. And then people who are like more center left are concerned that people on the far left are criticizing Beto. And I think we need to just be okay with everybody being criticized until we have a candidate.
Yeah, that's fine.
And like, just for. Why the news to like, take its course.
Yeah.
Why do people want a perfect candidate? I mean, I guess, why do people want a perfect candidate is a dumb question. But
our
like,
world is so imperfect.
Why do people keep expecting a perfect candidate? You
yeah.
know what I mean?
Well, like, especially in this system we have.
Yeah.
You're not coming out of here fucking unscathed.
It's a really interesting time, I think, now. And people are starting to talk about class now. Mm-hmm. And a big part of that is Bernie. Bernie was like really mainstreamed talking about the working class again.
Yeah.
In a way that the Democrats really haven't for a long time. And they certainly haven't explicitly for a long time. Talked about raising up the working class, even using the terms working class families. But where does the Democrats' money come from? It doesn't come from working class families.
Right.
Maybe it did 50 years ago, but it doesn't anymore because their policies have not really helped working class people. I mean, everybody knows that the rich have gotten richer and the poor have gotten poorer and the class gap has just widened and widened and widened. So anything that either party has been trying to do to help the working class is obviously not fucking working.
Yeah.
So, but now we're coming up on this weird sort of framing. And I do believe this is like, it is being framed as this in order to weaken it. This idea that class politics and a class-based analysis of politics and economy are at odds with a race-based analysis or with a gender-based analysis,
right.
the identity politics analysis,
mm-hmm.
when in
yeah.
fact it's just another factor and it's all intersectional. You
yeah,
know?
Absolutely. It's not an either-or thing.
But they're being pitted against each other, and this is something that, honestly, Republicans have been doing since the 30s
yeah.
to, you know, destroy any kind of unionization of marginalized groups in the working class, and it's just kind of the same thing over again. But it's very weird to see.
Well, the smoke bombing is slowly starting to not work as much as it used
yeah.
to. Like, where they'd obscure, be like, okay, now y'all fight.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
And now
yeah,
we're
exactly.
starting to be like, well, hold up, man. We're both fucking poor.
Yeah, and it's right. been like so many years of them
right.
doing this. And we're like, wait a second, that didn't work, and that didn't work, and that didn't work. And
yeah.
like, the only thing that worked was really radical shit that then people got murdered by the FBI for
mm-hmm.
right.
when it got too far. You know,
yeah.
they were like, okay, we'll get civil rights. Okay, fine. Shit ton of people died. Fine, you can vote now.
Wait,
fine.
Y'all teaming up with poor white people?
Yeah. No. Time to kill Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Like, that's the line.
Yeah.
Is poor people teaming up.
Yeah.
And that was the thing that, you know, made him very unpopular in the lead up to his death with white America
mm-hmm.
was the idea of him.
That's too far.
Yes.
You know, that's crossing the line.
Right. Yeah, and I think the media.
Rich black people? Okay.
Right.
Poor people? No. Yikes.
Yeah. And I think the media is somewhat complicit in this. I think, like, we've talked before about how the Dean scream was somewhat. Yeah. That was
perfect, man.
That was
my favorite.
Sort of fabricated by the media to be a, like, he did scream like that, but it was because he had it sounded crazy because he had a noise-canceling microphone, and so
I mean, it sounded crazy
because
it was fucking crazy.
Yeah.
But who cares? You know what I mean? That's
he
the thing.
Hopped
they,
up.
But they made it a point. I don't think we even have to, you know, explain why he
the
did it.
Dean
Nobody
scream,
even
the
heard
Hillary
it in
laugh,
the room,
all
though.
Of yeah, all of these things are, like, really inflated.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I do think that the center media, the mainstream media, takes it upon themselves to protect
capitalism
with this idea of electability.
Right.
Like, well, Bernie Sanders just isn't electable.
Yeah, like, people are too stupid to vote in their own interest.
Right.
Right.
Is really the
I wonder when the left
left media will turn on Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, though.
Oh, what's the left media?
I mean, like the MSNBCs of the world, where they're sort of like, you know,
they've already turned on Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
But not like in the way where they're full on trying. I mean, they buy into like the really stupid, vapid headlines of like, oh, she messed up this thing or whatever.
Yeah.
But, you know, like on Fox, they're in full on like terror mode.
Yeah, they're like,
I'm talking
she's
about when they like,
to, yeah.
they tear her the fuck down. Like now they're just sort of being like, oh, well, she seems like a spirited young man. They're more dismissive right now.
I think it's going to be when she starts implementing policy, really. And also, if she speaks up more about Palestine.
Right.
I think that's really going to be, because that's been what she's been torn down for the most on, you know, mainstream media that skews liberal, is, you know, being called anti-Semitic for opposing Israel.
Right.
Right. I think the one good thing with her that will make it difficult for them to tear her down is she's got a Trump-like unflappableness on Twitter. Like, she's just like, you're not fucking knocking me off my message, homie.
She's like, I'm a 29-year-old Twitter-literate millennial.
Yeah.
Fuck, like, get in my mentions and see what happens. Yeah, fuck around and find
out.
You
want to quote tweet me poorly? Yeah. I'm going to do a thread.
Yes. Time to thread this shit.
All right. Speaking of Congress being, and the mainstream political elite being somewhat out of touch with the realities of our world, the CEO of Google visited The Hill on Tuesday, where he faced a grilling. On the one hand, you know, hardline conservatives were performing for the cameras with their uninformed questioning around the conspiracy that Google is biased against conservative views and like screens searches or conservative results. And then you had Democrats pressing for answers on all the data mining and just violations of privacy that we talked about a little bit earlier, and the near monopoly they have, which is very dangerous and should be the only focus of this.
Right.
But then there was also the dudes like Iowa Nazi Steve King, who just clearly didn't understand technology and treated it like when you go to an older relative's house and they're like, here, let me show you this thing. And it always turns into you being their tech support.
Yeah, 100%. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're a geek squad.
My mom called me 10 times yesterday because the Uber app on her phone had disappeared.
Yes.
I still don't know. Like, I think she deleted it by accident.
No,
but
my
mom
did the same thing.
But then she said it's open or whatever. I really have no, I still have no idea what happened.
She put it in a folder.
She put it
in
a folder.
She probably long pressed it on the home screen, dragged it on another icon, that
my
created
mom,
a folder, vanished.
She's a maniac for long pressing. She's always like, do I want to open this? And then it's deleted.
Like,
it's gone. Like,
it's shaking now.
Yeah, she goes, it's wiggling. I don't know what to do.
Sorry, it's wiggling. All right, I'll come over.
Anyways, let's hear
5-hour drive.
Steve King's highly informed questioning of the CEO of Google.
I have a 7-year-old granddaughter who picked up her phone before the election.
Why does she have a phone?
And she's playing a little game, kind of game a kid would play, and up on there pops a picture of her grandfather. And I'm not going to say into the record what kind of language was used around that picture of her grandfather, but I'd ask you, how does that show up on a 7-year-old's iPhone who's playing a kid's game?
Congressman, iPhone is made by a different company, and so, you know, I mean...
It might have been an Android. It's just... It was a hand-me-down of some kind.
You know, I'm happy to follow up and understand the specifics. There may be an application which was being used, which had a notification, but I'm happy to understand it better and clarify it for you.
Okay. Thank you for your testimony and yield back.
He's just like, okay.
I thought I would get him on that one.
That guy has worked in tech support. You can tell. You
know, he's
got
that
voice
engineer.
Of like, yeah, he's an engineer. He's like, okay, let's talk about this later so you don't embarrass yourself.
Yeah, I understand your concern, sir. I have a lot of tickets, though. Mm. And again, the whole thing of like, how does my granddaughter finding out I'm a racist Nazi taint scab?
Yeah.
Right.
Like, also, what did it say? Was it like, Steve King is a cocksucker? Like, what
I mean, maybe,
this?
Unless it was like a wonkhead headline. I can't imagine any like thing that had like a outright aggressive shit that he would be like, unless he really does take offense to the fact that people do point out that he's a Nazi.
I think he does. Right.
And he was like, how dare, I mean.
But
I
also
can't.
Like, why does your 7-year-old have a smartphone, man? Like,
right.
Why does your, use, there's kid protection.
Tell you why, because the parents can't be bothered to entertain the kids or have them do
shit.
Oh,
sorry, might have been an Android. You don't even know if your kid has an iPhone or an Android, dude.
What kind of grandpa are you?
Yeah.
Right.
Also, it had to be a Nexus phone if he's going to answer directly as the head of Google, okay? Not just some Android, that's just the operating system. Okay, next. angry tech support guy, Miles, come in.
Thank you. Next.
But no, that
another
whole thing
loss
was
for the olds, by the way.
Yeah.
I didn't realize how old Steve King is. He's just like, what's happening?
And a lot of people were just asking really weird things. Like a Democrat was like, how come when you search idiot, Trump's name comes up? Uh-huh. And they're like, it's called gaming the algorithm and Reddit, and people just, you know, you upvote this shit enough, you can just change
the
algorithm.
It's honestly terrifying how little every elected representative knows about
on both sides.
Basic internet use, you know.
But the Steve King thing, I mean, clearly his granddaughter was not playing some kid's game and then a web page just spontaneously opened and criticized her grandfather.
Right.
She was Googling her grandfather plus taint scab, and she brought up a page that said he was a taint scab, and he was like, wait, well, let me see what you're looking at there. And then she made up a lie about how, like, the phone made her do it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, you know, they were really going all in. They were pulling up all these, like, just debunked studies about how, like, it favors the left or whatever. And one person was like, how come when you searched the Republican tax bill, it talked about how it was really unfavorable to working people? I don't understand why.
That was the analysis of it in the media?
But that shows you their blind spot is like, are they so up there? I mean, they must be so up their own ass too that they're like, I don't.
They also don't understand.
Why
they
is
also,
truth coming up?
Here's the thing. They don't understand that Google is not an objective search. Right. Like, Google is a search that points you to the pages that are visited the most, and then those pages exponentially get visited more, and then they're number one in search results.
Right.
Like, Google is not an objective. The algorithm is not objective. It is not, like, neutral. You get search results tailored to the search results you click on.
Right.
So if you search yourself, Steve King, I'm going to name search Steve King. First thing that comes up is Steve King is a fucking Nazi. You click on that, you're like, who's calling me a Nazi? Boom, Google's going to give you that more.
Right.
So, like, they're acting like Google is this, you know, like, but I asked God and God said my tax bill was bad. Google's not God, it's a product.
Right. Yeah.
Those questions were so funny, though. There was another one about how they're just like, and this other bill, it was like lying about this thing. And it's like, it wasn't. It was giving you the analysis of like what trying to blow up the Affordable Care Act was going to do or what these other things were going to do. And they're like, it's just so biased.
I can't believe this information is so free.
Yeah.
Right. All right. We're going to take another quick break. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is an NAACP and Webby Award-winning podcast dedicated to all things mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. Here, we have the conversations that help Black women decipher how their past inform who they are today and use that information to decide who they want to be moving forward. We chat about things like how to establish routines that center self-care, what burnout looks and feels like, and defining what aspects of our lives are making us happy and what parts are holding us back. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe.
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worry he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market as fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen. We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
Basically, everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
As someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. So I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back, and the fallout from yesterday's immediately famous Oval Office meeting between Trump, Nancy Pelosi, and Chuck Schumer continues.
Yeah.
Apparently the president, you know, he went in thinking he was going to ambush them, and he came out apparently just throwing his papers to the floor and complaining that he got ambushed.
Wah.
This is my favorite shit.
Right.
Because he was like bragging, oh, I got the votes. Nancy's like, well, pull up with the votes then. You don't got shit. Well, I need Chuck to. That's what I thought. Sit back down. You pee sitting down now. So basically what happened
Nancy Pelosi piss domming Trump.
So exactly. So one thing was like, yeah, he threw his shit.
Say thank you.
Then he.
Say thank you, mistress.
Say thank you. Exactly. I'm gonna spit on your face. Then he basically went on to complain about how that was such an embarrassment. He was really pissed off that Chuck Schumer wasn't even looking at him while he was just making jokes to the press, because Schumer was just sort of like going, what about this asshole, huh?
Right.
And that really got to fucking Trump, to the point that even like once the press left, they're like, okay, let's have our meeting. Like he couldn't recover. And he was just like, fuck this.
He's like, yeah, like, I know when I'm being unrespected.
Yeah. No, seriously. And one of the funniest things is like he got really mad at Mike Pence.
He
felt that Mike Pence, when he powered down in front of everybody like that. He was like, you burned me, Pence.
I think he's right, though. I think this is in keeping with my theory that something happened with the revelations, either that we know about or stuff we don't quite know yet because of all the redactions. But with the Mueller investigation and the Southern District of New York investigation, like last week's revelations, the Pence camp seems to have cooled a little bit. Mike Pence definitely, like the memes around what was going through his mind were a lot of fun, but also kind of unavoidable when you look at his performance. He just either choked or was like, I don't want anything. He almost looked like a spouse of like an alcoholic who's like at dinner and the spouse is drunk and they're just like, oh, Jesus,
doing the
just
thing
let
is like,
this be over.
What
with.
Do you mean I can't take leftovers from this all you can eat buffet?
Yeah, exactly.
I fucking paid for it. I'm going to take it home.
Where's my food? We already ate, honey.
And then
Where is it?
He was literally closing his eyes like fucking Luke Skywalker in the last Star Wars movie, trying to like astrally project himself into another place. Like, please get me the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
Just visualizing Hawaii behind his eyes. He's like, I'm somewhere else.
Yeah. And then he said, they set me up. But the funny thing is, in the Daily Beast, they report how Trump initially, this was supposed to be a no cameras, behind closed door thing. And at the 0 hour was like, you know what, let's bring the press in, because I think I'm going to press him about the wall and see how they handle it. And then got his
I feel
ass
a big win coming on.
Just flipped. Like, you fucking idiot.
You poor
idiot.
He can't say no to those cameras.
I know.
He lives for them.
And then just looks like a total ass. Like, he's supposed to be Mr. Reality TV, and he just showed his ass so bad, and somehow then did the worst thing he could do is be like, yeah, I'll own the shutdown.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
At the same time, so I did read an analysis of this on the Daily Beast, which obviously is not a conservative place, where they somebody was saying that they thought Trump actually won that in his like weird version of reality. Not just like he believes he won it, but the people who he appeals to would think he won it. And the idea is that while Nancy and Chuck were trying to, they were like, let's talk behind closed doors because it's political decorum. He was like, no, let's do it right here. And that does seem like, I don't know, political decorum is popular with the mainstream media, but for, you know, the people who vote for Trump and even just regular people, I feel like urging somebody to do like have the conversation behind closed doors is an immediate like red flag.
Right. Well, I think the hit isn't necessarily like I don't think he gains from it being out in the open. I think the hit he takes is from openly owning a shutdown if it happens over the wall.
Right.
And like that's the part that isn't a good look because we're used to him just having a hissy fit in public.
Yeah.
Well, Trump, I think like throughout the campaign has always been like, yeah, I'll make Mexico pay for the wall. Yeah, I'll do it.
Right.
Yeah. You know, he's always that like, yeah, I'm going to fucking do it. Yeah. I'm going to do the thing that's unthinkable. And now that, you know, he got sort of confronted about the shutdown, he was like, yeah, fuck it. You know, I don't care. And then all his constituency was like, we care.
Right. Yeah. At the same time, he's fighting for a thing his constituents want or think they want in the wall. Mm-hmm. And he's willing to do an unpopular thing to get it with the shutdown. Now, I think the place that the L is really going to come is when the shutdown actually happens, if he really does force it.
God, I hope
and
so.
And then it's a complete fucking disaster and
yes,
he still
bitch.
Doesn't get his wall. Mm. Then, yeah, that's not going to be a good look for him.
Well, there was a thing, I don't know if how real it was, but there was some article saying that the wall was just merely a mnemonic device for him to talk about immigration.
Yeah.
Like, oh, for sure.
That it wasn't.
That's not
but
what
then,
mnemonic means, but okay.
But yeah, that's what they were. He needed it as a concept, as a mnemonic device to help the candidate remember.
It's a synecdoche.
Synecdoche, New York.
It's a synecdoche, right. Yes.
Yeah.
Is
thank
it?
You so much.
It is a synecdoche, yes. It's a synecdoche.
I never
for,
knew what that meant.
For immigration. Well, you just got an English major on your show, buddy.
Boom.
Holy shit.
So then, yeah, and then essentially he just took it literally and then his melted brain just turned it into the thing that it's like, say the wall so they know immigration. He's like, no, it's a literal wall that I want now.
He's obsessed
like,
with the
no,
wall.
No, okay, whatever.
Right.
But the other thing is like, you see.
It's like he's like, someone's like, you got to ask for her hand in marriage. And he's literally like, I want your hand.
I want the hand.
And he cuts off her hand.
Oh
he's
my
like,
God.
That hand is mine.
I have the hand. What do I do now, Steve? Yeah. I have the hand. No. Oh, Jesus Christ.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, okay,
fuck.
First
Pence,
of all,
I got the hand.
The
why aren't you glad?
Yeah.
Well, the Senator Kennedy from Louisiana, John Kennedy, he was like, he was basically saying like, if I were playing poker with the president and he was across the table from me and he had demonstrated the face that he demonstrated in that meeting and I wasn't holding good cards, I'd fold because I don't think he's bluffing. I think he's prepared to shut down the
That's
government.
A really long way to say I don't think he's bluffing.
Yeah,
right.
But it's a sort of like, you're starting to see also the weird sort of the sycophant comments steam in about like, they're like, yeah, he's digging in or
yeah.
whatever. It's like,
yeah. I don't think it's as clear-cut a win as the media has portrayed it, or at least people who pay attention to the media.
Oh,
are
I don't even.
It.
I don't think it's a. Don't get me wrong. I don't think this is a policy win in any way. This is
right.
merely just like a shit talking at lunch break win.
Yeah.
Where
this
like,
is,
you
know,
made a fool.
His whole campaign was I'm going to build a wall, and now he's like I'm building a wall, and all his constituents are like great. And then everyone who voted for him is like, good. And he's like, I'm building a wall. And they're like, we're going to shut down the government. And he was like, I don't care. I'm building a wall.
Yeah.
You know.
He's like, you're going to shut down the government. He's like, I'm going to shut down the government.
Yeah.
He just repeats whatever they said.
and taxpayers are going to pay for it.
You don't shut down the
yep.
government. I shut down
yeah.
the government.
Mexico's not paying for it? No. But I think apparently after the cameras left, he insisted that Mexico was still paying
of
for it to
did.
Chuck and Nancy.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see how Mexico's new president is going to deal with this because he's AMLO, baby.
Yeah.
Manuel Lopez Obrador.
I don't think, yeah, he might just be like, I don't know her.
He is like, I don't know her. He's
yeah.
he's pretty lefty.
Yeah.
yeah, he's like, we're not fucking paying for this.
Right.
I hope things improve in Tijuana for those caravan friends.
Yeah,
yeah. Jesus.
Because now they're trying to look for money to like go back, essentially, too. They're
a lot
like,
of them were deported,
right.
were taken back, and then the ones that are remaining, they just have like, you know.
No financial recourse.
They have no financial recourse. They have no resources. A lot of people in the city don't want them there, you know.
Yeah.
There are also racist people in Mexico, you
yeah.
know, and they're like, fuck Hondurans or whatever.
Right, right.
So, yeah, they're in a really fucked up spot, and a lot of them are, the people that are left are people that like have kids and are taking care of kids, and, you know, to go back is a lot worse. They're waiting for asylum. There's people are just getting sick.
Yeah.
You know, this is what happens when large groups of people live on the street for a while.
Right,
people
no
start getting really fucking sick.
Yeah.
Well, that's why we have typhus in LA now.
There's typhus now?
There's typhus on Skid Row.
Shit.
That's not good.
Nope.
Well, speaking of not good.
low energy pivot.
Yes, low energy. Michael Cohen is going to prison.
Yep.
Michael Cohen is going
My prediction is he will join a Norteño gang in prison to survive.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing really new. He basically went up to the judge and was like, hey, I cooperated. And also, his quote was, my blind loyalty to President Trump led me to the darkness.
Mm-hmm.
But the judge was like, no. I'm sorry, you get 3 years. I don't care. Like Robert Mueller, he was like, well, he cooperated enough. We'll recommend 0 to 6 months. But where the Southern District of New York, in their dealings with him, they're like, yo, this man was not easy to work with. He wasn't being forthcoming with answers. And he fucked around and he found out. So he's going to do a little 3 year stretch.
So Mueller recommended that he be treated with leniency, but then the Southern District of New York was like, nah, fuck that.
Yeah, because he pitched off all the like New York state crimes to him. Mueller kept it to like, everything I want to know about Russia, please tell me. And that's the thing. We still don't know what he said about what he told Robert Mueller. So it's not fair to assess what exactly he knows or doesn't know. But apparently when it came to his like financial crimes in New York, he was sort of like, I don't know.
Right.
So yeah, that's what you get. You're going to do 3 years. And go to jail now.
Yeah.
And then also Mike Flynn, he also filed some paperwork before his sentencing, basically outlining why he feels like he should do no time because he was a decorated service member of the armed forces. And he was very forthcoming with Robert Mueller. But the only thing that's really new about this thing that we found out was his lawyers are arguing that when the FBI agents came to interview him the first time, when they're like, just so you know, we have you on tape talking to like Russian ambassadors about sanctions. And he was like, oh, he played stupid about it. He was saying that the FBI agents didn't warn him that it was a crime to lie to the FBI. So he can't really be held liable for that.
Wow.
He literally pulled the, I'm sorry, I didn't know I couldn't do that.
About lying to the FBI.
Because
he's like, well, they came in on some real like casual
Wait a second. Are you telling me that I can't lie to the FBI?
I can't lie to them.
Oh, you're in so much trouble. Oh, no.
And that is privilege in a nutshell for you when you're like, oh, well, they didn't tell me.
Right.
I didn't know.
I didn't know the laws apply to me.
You didn't say that's what the rules were.
Oh, what the heck?
Isn't that the Dave Chappelle bit? Or
I'm sorry, I didn't know I can do that. Yeah, the speeding thing.
Yeah, when he's like, driving with his white friend, and his white friend gets out of a ticket by saying, sorry, I didn't know I couldn't do that.
And weren't they all fucked up, too, smoking weed? It's like, we're not gonna take it. It was like blasting when the cop pulled up.
That's amazing.
I'm sorry, officer, I didn't know I couldn't do
that. What Mike Flynn did is so bad. Like what he actually did was not just lying, but he undermined the sitting U.S. president by going around him speaking to an enemy.
Hey man, he didn't know he couldn't do that.
Yeah. But like, it's such a huge crime. I was listening to this just kind of straightforward review of everything that he did from these like national security experts.
Right.
And they were just like so just like out of breath, just talking about like how insane what he did is like and that he's going to get off with like not that big of a sentence. Like he should, like it's essentially treason. It's the worst thing you can do as somebody who was supposed to be upholding like national security and like working, like swearing to protect the American people and swearing to help America before anyone or your own self-interest. And he was just like, nah, I'm gonna go talk to Russia and like secretly deal with them and then lie about it.
It's almost as if public servants are not actually in it to help the public.
I mean, some of them are, but the ones who make it to the top, apparently, especially Republicans.
It all depends on what your end game is as a person, right?
Yeah.
You can look at that and be like, I'm down for some influence peddling for a check. And other people are actually selfless servants.
I work hard. I go home to my house at the end of the day.
Right.
I peddle some influence.
And I peddle
some
influence.
I'm not afraid to say it.
But also, you know what? Why the fuck shouldn't I drive a Maybach?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Un Maybach.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
But yeah. So we'll see what happens to him. Because also, you know, those sentencing memos are when the prosecutors are like, yeah, maybe this is the recommendations. The judge doesn't necessarily have to adhere to that. The judge can look at everything and be like, okay, that's what you think, but I think it should be this.
Yeah.
But they do have to sort of explain why that works, but it doesn't always necessarily mean what they recommend is what's going to happen.
I think that kind of sucks.
What?
That system, you know,
right.
The system of a judge getting to decide over, I mean, isn't the point of our jury of peers that they're the ones that get to decide?
Well, you know, for sentencing, I think, you know, it works out a bit different.
I'm
just
saying, like, ideologically, it doesn't make a ton of sense to me.
Yeah. You know, depending on if this person did actually give something of value to further the cause of the justice system, then yeah, we can figure out a way to level that out. But yeah.
And then just also going on in this investigation, we mentioned before that Maria Butina is going to cooperate, but just the details of what she had access to. So there's this dude, Paul Erickson, who's a GOP operative and...
like the dude she was like sleeping with.
Yeah, she was sleeping with him.
There. Yeah.
And he was like an NRA spokesperson, a GOP operative. And one of the pieces of information that came out through investigating her was an email from Paul Erickson saying basically him just bragging about doing covert agent stuff. I'm just going to read the email. Unrelated to specific presidential campaigns, Erickson wrote in an October 2016 email to an acquaintance that was later obtained by the FBI. I've been involved in securing a very private line of communication between the Kremlin and key unnamed political party leaders through, of all conduits, the
redacted
unnamed gun rights organization.
Key Republican leaders through, of all conduits, the NRA, I think is how, if we're going to do a Mad Libs.
Again, like, do old people not understand how the internet works?
No.
They really don't. He was like, I'm going to write an email about very private things I've been doing and name them.
Well, these people were so bad at spying.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
They're really shitty spies.
There was a fucking tell them about the note they found.
Yeah, when
the
found
FBI raided his house.
So they raided his house, and one of the things was... The Kremlin was trying to get to him via a number of different ways, Maria Butina, and also, we find out, a job offer, because when they raided his house, he had just a post-it note with the question written, how to respond to FSB offer of employment, ?
It's like you wrote it as an expositional device.
Yeah.
Right.
That's the Russian equivalent of the CIA.
It's what you would see on the wall of an establishing shot when you're like, you're in the character's house.
Right,
and you're what's he dealing with now? What offers of employment from international secret agencies is he getting?
Yeah. I mean, it's like, it might as well have been a handwritten note that it's like, want to do treason with me? Yes or no. Check a box. Signed FSB, which is the Russian version of the CIA.
Yes.
So,
mm-hmm.
I don't know. I mean, everyone's so stupid. You know, I think Russians thought Americans were smarter than they were.
No, they're really
and
not.
And Americans, I think they're realizing, oh, these people are fucking dumb as shit.
Mm. Right.
Well, especially when you're greedy. I mean,
yeah, they were
shit
like,
happens.
They were like, hey, you want to collude with us on some stuff? You want to like do some collusion?
You down to collude?
And then the Americans fucked it up so bad that I think the Russians are now like, ugh, I wish I had never colluded.
They're like, all right, hey, what's up, Snapchat gang? I'm doing a poll real quick. Should I collude with Russia? Just vote in my poll right now. Let me know. All right, Paul Erickson out.
You can tweet at me. I'm on Snapchat. Instagram DM is cool too.
Like and subscribe also.
Sarjun, it's been a pleasure having you.
Thank you so much for having me on.
Where can people find you?
People can find me on Instagram or Venmo at HeySarjun, HeySarjune, and on YouTube at Means TV.
Means TV.
That is a new channel that I am involved with.
Dope. What are you doing there?
We can talk about that more next time I'm on. I'll have some stuff. I'm directing some stuff and writing some stuff, and I'll have some videos in the next few months.
Fantastic.
Yeah, I'll come on and plug that.
Yeah, we'll plug that then.
Hell yeah. Oh, and is there a tweet you've been enjoying?
Oh, no, I'm not on Twitter anymore.
What's the Instagram post you liked?
You know what I like on Instagram is Goku Weed Smoke. Goku Weed Smoke is a follower of mine who's a post I enjoy.
Goku in his memes?
No, it's just a person's account. I don't know, man. I'm not on the damn social media anymore.
Dude, all good, man. Hey, Goku Weed Smoke, you just got a sick plug right there.
At Goku Weed Smoke, thanks for watching my Instagram stories.
Boom.
Miles, where can people find you?
Twitter, Instagram, at Miles of Gray. Two tweets I like. One is from Trayvon Free. Says, seems like everybody getting locked up but her. And another one is just a photo from Jesse Crowell. It's a photo of Ray Liotta on the Today Show with like Hoda and Kathy Lee all over him. And it says, Ray Liotta, king of the wine moms. But the way they are up on him.
Oh, my God.
It looks like a threesome is about
to begin. Like it's, I don't know. It looks like you walked in the wrong Burning Man cap. Mm.
You can follow me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. Tweet, I enjoyed Brandy Jensen tweeted, 2017, sassy brands who dunk on people. 2018, the brands are anxious and depressed now. 2019, brands start asking for feet pics. And then she tweeted, me, sure wish they would bring back spicy chicken nuggets. Wendy's, step on my balls and we'll talk. you can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes. We link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as, there you go, as well as the song we ride out on. Miles, what's that going to be?
So this is a track from Sam Gendel called Pure Imagination, in parentheticals, lo-fi. And this, again, you know, just, we're trying to get our shoulders moving. We're trying to get our bodies moving. The weekend is approaching. So let's get loose and join in and don't drink the juice. Mm.
All right. We're going to ride out on that. We will be back tomorrow because it is a daily podcast. We'll talk to you guys then. Bye.
Bye.
Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Mother's Day is right around the corner, and in true She Pivots fashion, we're highlighting moms who've dedicated their lives and their pivots to supporting mothers. The iconic Christy Turlington will join us to talk about launching Every Mother Counts after pivoting from her 90s supermodel days. And later, the co-CEOs of Baby to Baby will share how they're addressing the needs for millions of babies and moms. So tune in and subscribe to She Pivots. New episodes out every Wednesday. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in LA, and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics, in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right. That's right.